Hey man, thank you, Shay. It is great to see you guys. Hannah and I just got back from a little extended vacation after the conference, but we had an awesome time at the conference with those of you who were there. Just an incredible time, just hearing the stories of faith and all the ways that God has been moving. It was just a very inspiring and uplifting time. And I know that some of you weren't able to make it, and that is okay. Tonight's lesson is not just for those of you who were there. Tonight's lesson is for anyone who is wanting to change, to become more like Jesus, and that is all of you that are here. The title of our message tonight, as has been mentioned, is How to Change, How to Change. And we're going to be diving into really talking about repentance. And making changes in our lives for God and because of God, kind of going from talking about having a desire and seeing that desire turn into a change in lifestyle for God. You know, and we talk about this topic of change in general, and the reality is that both Christians and non-Christians around the world want change, right? People want change in the world. People want their families to change. People want other people's opinions to change. People want the climate to change and for there to be action in that. People want politics to change. Like, you name it. People want change on all platforms and all different kinds of areas, but not everyone wants to change themselves. Not everyone wants to change their own life. Everyone wants to see change in the world. A lot of people want to change the world, but not everyone wants to change themselves. But we, as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, we've been called to change. And why is that? Is that just to say we're good people? No, it's because Jesus is Jesus. Jesus is the most righteous person to ever walk the face of the earth. He was perfect, and we're called to follow in his steps. We're called to be like him. And so, in order for that to happen, we need to change from our sinful selves, to become more like Christ, to be transformed so that we can reflect God and others can see him through us. We change as Christians because God wants us to change. We don't change when it seems to suit our appetite. We don't change when it seems easy. We don't change when people force us to. We change because God has called us to change, to be like him. You know, this word for change that we see used in the Bible over and over again, and you guys probably know what I'm getting at here, is repentance, right? Repentance is this Greek word, metanoia, right? Literally meaning to have a change of mind. This change of thinking, that the best way I think it can be defined is repentance is this change of thinking produced by the scriptures that leads to a change in our action, right? And before we dive into this whole process of, okay, how does this happen? How do we actually experience metanoia? I first think we have to have the right perspective on change in general. And we need to realize that change is a gift from God. Change is something that God grants us. We don't even deserve to change or have a second chance to change our life, right? We don't deserve that. Second, third, and fourth chances, right? God has gifted us the ability as human beings to change, to reverse cycles of sin passed down to us. We get to change. You know, I love this scripture here in Acts chapter 11, verse 18. It says, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Right? Did you catch that there? Granted repentance to Gentiles like us. Amen. So change is a gift from God, but do you see it that way? Or are you burdened by change? Does change feel overwhelming to you? Does change feel annoying to you, maybe even? But this is the perspective we need to have. We don't have to change. We get to change. We get to change to become more like God, who God made us to be. And the good news is that God changes us, right? The pressure is not all on us. And we'll talk more about things that we need to do on our part. But God changes us through his word, through his Holy Spirit and the scriptures written from his Spirit. And so change is good. Change is a gift. And we need to see it that way. But change also leads to times of refreshing. Don't you guys want times of refreshing? Right? Acts 3:19 says, repent then, change, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Guys, change, when we change our lives, although it might be hard, what does it bring? Refreshment, right? Change brings times of refreshment. And we need to get excited about that. We need to be people that get stoked that we don't have to stay stuck in our sin, but we can change. And it's going to lead to a better life. It's going to lead to a refreshing time. And that's what I want for you guys. That's what I want for myself. That's what I want for anyone I'm studying the Bible with, is for them to find refreshment. You know, for those of you who were in Orlando, like Rob said, I mean, you heard some top-notch sermons, breakout classes. I mean, it was incredible. All the ICMC main sessions talking about revival. I mean, you guys probably have pages of notes, lots of things you've been reflecting on. And you've probably had moments during that conference, and even for those of you who weren't there, just when you've heard a great message, when you've had a great quiet time or listened to an amazing podcast, you know, you have moments where you say to yourself, man, that was really convicting. And we've talked about this a little bit before in our Practicing the Way series about conviction. But what I want to talk about tonight is, again, having change means that we're going from just being convicted to having a conviction, to having a Bible-based conviction that continues on even after the emotions kick in from a lesson we've learned, right? Being convicted only lasts a short moment, but the question is, based off of what you learned from this conference and from anything there, from conversations, are you going to let it turn into a conviction? Are you going to let it turn into a lifestyle? Because here's the thing. All of us here on this Zoom call, we like the idea of change. We love the idea of revival. We love the idea of becoming greater. But we don't always like discomfort. We don't always like perseverance, letting people speak truth into our lives. So we want to change. We genuinely want to change, but sometimes we don't know how to change. And so again, that's what we want to dive into here is, okay, change is a gift from God. Change leads to times of refreshing. We should change because God wants us to, but how do we do this? And what I want to start by saying in this question of how do we change is it has to start with the Bible. All right. It has to start with the scriptures and seeing the scriptures clearly. Because we can't change ourselves. We can't do this on our own. We need the word of God. We need his word. We need spiritual inspiration that can inspire us and lead us to make not sinful decisions, but righteous decisions for God. And change is a process, but we have to turn away from the world and turn to God's perfect word. You guys know this scripture in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So Paul starts by saying, hey, Christians in Rome, stop conforming. It's not good. It's not going to help you, but be transformed. Let God renew your mind, right? How does he do that? through his scriptures, through the gospel, through the message of Jesus. And when we let the scriptures into our lives, when we feast on them, then he can do the transforming. He can literally change our thinking and help us to think more godly. And then once that happens, we're able to see that God's way is good. It's perfect. It's better than our sin. God's will is a perfect will, better than what we had before with our sin and our best attempt at being a good person. Mind change produced by the scriptures leads to a change in action, but we have to start with turning away from any worldly thinking of change and turning to the scriptures and really just immersing ourselves in the word of God with whatever area we want to change in our lives. I love this scripture in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You can kind of see a commonality between this verse and Romans, right? This verse says, then you'll be able to be prosperous and successful. And Romans 12 says, then you will be able to see God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. But it's only after we do what? We go to God's word. We need to dwell on God's life-giving words. This needs to be our comfort, our refuge, what consumes us. That when we want to change, what do we first go to? The word of God. Scriptures, for example, if in your character you want to grow to be more compassionate, we have to go to the scriptures to look at Jesus's example. We have to start with God because it's all God breathed, the word of God. But are you letting the scriptures lead you to change, or are you just kind of using them as a nice pick-me-up in the day? Like, oh, that made me feel good today. Or are you letting them actually change your lifestyle? But I want to start there again with this question of how to change. We got to start with the word of God, with letting it inspire us to change for him. And we have to know what the word is saying. We have to memorize scriptures. We have to, you know, what I used to do a lot in college, especially when I had some hard times, is I would write things right here on my hand because I knew I was going to see it a lot. And I would have these scriptures on my heart and just try to do anything that would remind me of God's word. You know, that could be your phone wallpaper or note cards, whatever works for you. But just because we might be reading the scriptures and just because we might know what something is saying, it doesn't mean we're doing it yet. Right? Just because you might have heard a great sermon and even understand all the points from it, it doesn't mean that you're living it out, right? It doesn't mean you've actually changed. Maybe you've started to have a change of thinking, but it doesn't mean your life has changed. This is a really important scripture. James chapter 1, starting in verse 22, says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Imagine that. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Okay, so James, the brother of Jesus, he's trying to help us out here. And he's talking to these Christians. He's saying, hey, don't just listen. Don't just hear, but hear and obey. Hear and do what it says. Right? It'd be like going to the doctor and you're severely sick, right? And they tell you what medicine to take. They tell you what to do for your body and you don't do it. Right? It doesn't matter how well you know what the doctor said to do. We have to do it. And sometimes we do this to God. We say, oh, that's great. What a great idea. I'll do that. I'll do that, Jesus. I'll do that, God. But we don't do it. And then we get mad that nothing's changed. And we blame it on God when really the problem is our own disobedience. We're forgetting the word, just like forgetting what we look like in a mirror. We're forgetting what we've heard. You know, Satan, as you've left this conference, especially for those of you who are there, you have a target on your back. I want you to hear me tonight. Satan knows what you learned there. Satan knows what you experienced there. Satan knows the faith that can come from that. And he is going to want you to forget, not remember, not obey, not do what it says. He's going to want you to forget and make it as if you never went to Orlando. And for those of you who maybe didn't go to the conference, and for those of you who have heard some great sermons this summer or have had great times with God, or maybe at the beginning of the summer, you set out to grow. You told people in your life, or you made decisions with God, said, this is what I want to grow in. But it's August and you're feeling like, man, I'm not doing it. I know what I want to do, but I'm not doing it. We have to be people who don't forget, but hold on to the word and do what it says. Something as simple as loving your neighbor. We know it. We know the concept, but are we doing it with our families, with our coworkers, with our classmates? Are we loving them as we would want to be loved? Another similar scripture is John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus says to the Jews who had believed him, if you hold to my teaching, the word hold could also be translated abide. If you abide by it, obey it, then you're really my disciples. He doesn't say, if you hear my teaching, you're really my disciple. No, he says, if you obey it. Then when we obey it, guess what? We'll know the truth. But not when we hear it, when we obey it, we'll know the truth. Then the truth will set us free. Everyone wants to be set free. Not everyone wants to obey. Again, everyone wants to see change. Not everyone wants to change. But we have to go from letting the scriptures into our lives, feasting on them, letting people give us scriptures about self-denial, about being outwardly focused, about being pure, about being disciplined, about being selfless. We have to put these scriptures on our hearts, but then we have to obey them. But I want to encourage you guys, because maybe you're feeling like, you know, man, I just don't know if I've been changing. You know, I just don't know if I've really been transforming in the way God wants me to. And I want to encourage you that odds are you've probably been changing a lot more than you think you have. Because even when we're not doing the best we can, God is still changing us. His Spirit is still molding us. And of course, we have to do our absolute best and make our effort. But I love this scripture here, and I hope this encourages you. It says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So Paul, he's encouraging this church in Corinth who has gone through a lot of sin, has made a lot of mistakes, not setting the example on every front. But he's saying, hey, but you guys have stuck it out. And you know what? You're being transformed with ever increasing glory. And so whether you feel like it or not, I just want to encourage you tonight. God is transforming you. Amen. God is changing you. When you read the Bible every day, when you pray every day, when you come to meetings with the body, God is using that to transform you. Whether you're realizing it in the moment or not, God is transforming us. And this scripture makes it clear, right, that it's God doing it. He is the one doing it. You know, this word here for transform is this word where we get the word metamorphosis, right? Metamorpho. And it's this profound change in one form to the next, right? That's this word here for transform. God is taking us somewhere greater. He is helping us blossom. He's helping us grow in becoming something that we weren't before. But if there's anything we get from the scripture, if you look at the end of that verse, it says, which comes from the Lord. Change comes from the Lord. Can I get an amen? All right. Change does not come from your past or how long you've been a Christian or how great your first couple of years were, right? Change doesn't come from who disciples you or how many books you've read, although those things are awesome and those things are helpful. Change comes from God. Change comes from the Spirit of God. He is offering to transform us. But I want to ask you tonight, do you want to be transformed? Do you want to see God change you from the inside out? And also, where's your faith at? You know, do you really believe that you can become more like King Jesus? Because if we don't believe that we can change to become like him, we won't. We have to believe that God can do transformation in our lives. I don't know what it is for you. It could be whatever that nagging sin is in your life, that even people have challenged you on it. People have brought it up, but you still feel like, I'm not changing it. It could be any area of selfishness. It could be laziness, not doing well in school. It could be just laziness in your times with God, just putting off our times with God. It could be a lack of relationships that are spiritual. It could be a lack of being outwardly focused and not learning how to help make disciples. I don't know what it is for you, but God can lead you to change. And he's going to always do his part, but we have to do our part too, right? Without him, we can't change, but without us and us being about it, he won't change us, right? Without him, we can't. Without us, he won't. And so it's not just about hearing, it's about obeying. And as we're obeying, God does this really, the way I like to think about it, is this counter formation, right? It's going against the grain of the world. God's kind of doing this counter formation against everything the world's put into us, all the data that the world's put in, all the training that worldly thinking has done. And God's saying, I'm gonna bring you back home. I'm gonna bring you back to spiritual thinking, to how you were actually designed. And I want to share briefly here, just kind of vulnerably, about for me, an area and just in my own character and even personality that I feel like over the years I've seen God just change in who I am as a disciple, but also just as a person. And I did not know any of you, a couple of you, but most of you I did not know when I was in high school. I got baptized as a teen disciple in 2010 as a freshman in high school. But man, those first couple of years of being a disciple were rough. I had unconfessed sin going on in my life. My grades were really not good. I was even at a place of wanting to drop out of high school. I mean, I was the only disciple in my school, but my grades didn't show it. My friendships in school didn't show it. I would sit alone at lunch, had very few friends, and I was very selfish, very to myself. And it's not wrong to be an introverted person, but I think I just use that as an excuse that, hey, I'm introverted. I don't need to share my faith in high school. And I needed men in my life like Ross Lippincott and Damon Curtis and Seth to confront my sin. I was being impure. I was disobeying my parents. I was being deceitful about my life while going to teen events, going to church, looking the part, but not really continuing to repent of the things in my life. And the thing that was lacking in my discipleship was just being bold, being willing to look a little weird at school and being a light. And so my first couple of years in high school, I was not a light. I was not really setting the example. And I needed people to help me see my sin. And after those couple of years in the last 2 years of high school, I got to see God just really do a number on me. And especially going into college, I'd hear these stories about men helping other people become Christians and men having victories in their discipline and their purity and repenting and doing well in school. And I'd hear people preach these lessons and I would just tell myself, you know, that's just never going to be me. I'm just going to be the guy that's going to be struggling, and I'm always going to need help. I'm going to need a lot of help to help people come to know God. And God is just so powerful, guys. God's word is powerful. The relationships in God's church are so powerful. And at the end of high school, I really decided, and just learning about the grace of God, I decided to repent. I got my grades up. The cross continued to transform me, but I had to let people into my life. And I got my grades up to a better place to get into college. I got myself to a place where I was starting to just be more disciplined. And then by the time I transitioned into campus, I was just in a place where I'm like, you know what? I just want to grow. I want to get training. And then going into campus ministry, I just saw God continue to transform me from going from this very introverted, shy person in high school to being a Bible talk leader on campus, to meeting people on campus. And that's not because I just wanted to be this force of a leader. It's because I felt compelled by the gospel. I felt like I need people on my campus don't know God. People need to know the gospel. And so for me, I just wanted to share that, you know, we can change, guys. We don't have to stay where we're at. And just looking back and, you know, these past decade plus in my Christianity, I'm just like, I think about 2010 mark versus 2022 mark. And it's just like, who was that guy? Like, who was that teenager? And so it's a process, right? We're all changing. We're all going through sanctification, but we have to see and we have to know that God can change us. And so I just want to encourage you tonight. You can change, but like I mentioned, we need encouragement, right? I want to talk about this a little bit. We cannot change if we don't have encouragement in our lives, right? Hebrews 3, verse 13. Oh, sorry. I guess I don't have that here. There we go. Hebrews 3 verse 13 says, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, right? So every day, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, right? So we need each other. I mean, you need encouragement and you need to be encouraging. We need to point each other back to Jesus. We all need encouragement. None of us can do without it. Why? Because all of us have sin. And sin hardens while encouragement softens our heart. So whoever is in your life, invite them and just say, I need you, sis. I need you, bro. I need encouragement. And we also need accountability. If we really want to change, we need people that know what we're wanting to change in our lives, right? We need people that know, here's my goal. Right. This semester, I want to help someone become a Christian. That's my goal. Bro, sis, help me grow in this area. Right. This semester, I want to get this grade point average to glorify God. Bro, sis, help me do this. I'm going to need you. I'm going to need to do homework with you. We're going to need to pray together. Right. It's another great way to encourage each other is praying together about the transformation that you want to see. But you can change, but you need encouragement. We need it because we will be hardened by our sin and the deceitfulness of sin if we don't have it. I love the scripture in Ephesians 4, verse 23. It says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So if you're doubting, hey, am I really supposed to change? Is this really for me? No. God says, the Bible says, we were created to be like God. So yes, God's plan is for sinners like us to change, to become like King Jesus. And he gets all the glory. He's the only reason we can change. But if this is what the Bible says, that you were created to be like God, don't you think that your focus in life should be to fulfill this? If this is who you were created to be, don't you think that a lot of your life should be focused and you should put your attention and devotion towards changing? Not just coasting, not just looking the part, not just being there Sundays, but that as you're in our ministry, we look at you and we're like, oh my goodness, this brother is changing before our very eyes. This sister is changing. Like, we need to say that about each other, not to show off, but because we're created to be like God. We're created to be like Christ, and he's given us all of the tools in order to get there. His Holy Spirit living within us, the gospel of Jesus, the Bible, discipling, prayer, spiritual books, relationships in the church, podcasts. We have all the tools, but we have to use them to fulfill God's purpose for us. And so, again, I want to circle back to what we talked about in the beginning. Everyone likes the idea of change, but not everyone wants to change. But as we close out this summer and as we head into the fall, and as we come off the heels of this conference, take time to think about, man, how is God calling me to repentance through the lessons that you heard in Orlando? How can you bring fruit in keeping with repentance in your life? Right? What is it going to look like for you? And so again, we got to think about, what is this going to mean for us? And so I want to leave you with this question tonight. How do you want to see God transform you? Right? What's the best case scenario for this fall and your discipleship? Right? Who do you want to be at the end of this fall semester? How do you want to see God transform you? And so let's start with the Word of God. Let's start with letting the Bible be our why and letting it inspire us and being rooted in his Word. But then let's go from hearing to obeying, to living it out, to seeing as we live it out, God transforms us and he changes our hearts and minds. And then from there, let's continue to have accountability, to have encouragement to live it out, and to be the kind of Christians that we don't just settle for getting by, but we change, right? We're being with Jesus. We're becoming like Jesus so that we can do what Jesus did. I hope this was helpful for you guys tonight. I hope that you were able to take something away from this and apply it to your life, and that this was able to get you excited for how God's going to help you continue to grow as we head into the fall semester. So love you guys. I'm going to close it out here, and I guess we'll have a time of responding here.